Rise and Shine Pile. Good morning, 7 o'clock. Thanks for starting your day with us. Jim Davis and the Buckeye Boy from the Bozarth Miller. Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Oh, they got some fine-looking automobiles in the lot over there. From Silverados to Colorados to Corvettes and Camaros. Previously owned. Maintenance, it's all there. At Bozarth Miller Chevrolet. Just a little bit west of us on North Avenue. All right. Yesterday, some big news for the Denver Broncos. Making the move yesterday. We had Cody Rourke on with us.
Pick up a transformer? It's what it sounded like there. They picked up an Autobot is what it sounded like.
They picked up Optimus Prime.
Yeah.
Optimus Prime will be challenging Drew Lock for the quarterback spot. Against those awful Decepticons, the Kansas City Chiefs. No, but yesterday we had Cody Rourke on, Locked Up Broncos podcast, and so we talked about this a little bit with the possibility of Teddy Bridgewater getting traded to the Broncos. And here's what Cody had to say yesterday. This is the thought that he had about the possibility of Bridgewater ending up in Denver, that this was going to have to be the thing that would happen if it was going to all come together. Here's Cody Rourke yesterday on the program.
Unless he's willing to restructure his contract, one thing that I do know that I've been told is that the Broncos will not take on his $10 million guaranteed contract, because if there is a chance that if he were the guy, if the Broncos brought in Teddy Bridgewater to compete with Drew, there is no way that they want to pay $10 million to a guy who could be the backup quarterback. It just doesn't make sense financially.
And guess what George Payton was able to get the Carolina Panthers to do?
Pick up some of that cash.
Pick up not just a little bit of it. Pick up seven of the $10 million of guaranteed money.
Did he do this with a mask and a gun?
This is like not quite to the extent how the Rockies and the Cardinals, how that worked and how the Rockies got screwed and had to pay $50 million. It's a much, much, much less severe version of that. But that is kind of what the Rockies... They're coming. What the Broncos did yesterday? They got a Scott Fitter. They did a reverse Rockies.
Yeah,
and got the Panthers to pay $7 million of that guaranteed $10 million. If you didn't like George Payton before, and didn't think okay, you weren't that impressed with Ronald Darby and getting Kyle Fuller and the moves that he's made during free agency, then this should impress you, right? I mean, they're getting him. They're going to get him to restructure from all the reports we're hearing from Shefty and all those guys, is that they're going to get Bridgewater to restructure the contract so it'll be just this year. Panthers are going to pay $7 of the $10 million guaranteed. So you're essentially getting him for $3 million and a six-round pick in this year's draft for a veteran quarterback to come in and challenge Drew Lock, a quarterback that's 28. I want your thoughts today, Pyle, because a lot of you are like, oh, I don't want Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
Okay.
Well, it's too late for that now.
It's too late.
You got Teddy Bridgewater.
He's coming to Denver. Do you like or dislike this deal? I want to know why you don't like this deal. Because, look, there's no more hardened cynic about the Broncos than you, Buckeye Boy.
Yeah.
And what they do financially and money they spend or money they don't spend or whatever the case may be.
I love this deal.
And even you are going, damn, that's a smart deal.
Yeah.
That's a savvy move by George Payton.
Because like we were talking before the show, it's $3 million. That's it. You're spending way more money on that with guys who you're probably going to get way less production from. And essentially, you drafted a six-year vet with 11,000 passing yards in the NFL for the sixth round. Essentially, you don't have to wring your hands together for the next 3 years of whether whoever you drafted at number 9 is going to be able to get the team to the promised land. You can draft a quarterback later, maybe a Kellen Mond or a Kyle Trask or whoever. You could draft a quarterback next year. Depending on how Teddy Bridgewater does for you this year, you may not have to draft a quarterback for a couple years or more.
And we'll talk more about what the options are for the Broncos now at number 9 tonight. But it opens up a world of options because you could get away, take a quarterback like you were referencing. You know, I had Kellen Mond in my mock draft in the 3rd round. You have a lot of choices now. And one of the things that had to happen was competition in the quarterback room. You're going to get that now with Teddy Bridgewater. And look, and I get it. The part of the concerns about Teddy Bridgewater, you know, the Panthers were 0-8 last year in one possession losses. I mean, that 4-win team could have easily been an 11-win football team and could have been a playoff team.
But we talk about the Falcons last year. Nobody's like, I don't want Matt Ryan. Nobody says that.
And so here's the thing. I mean, we're going to go through the narrative because a lot of the narrative about the 0-for-8 in one possession games in the 4th quarter was, it's Teddy Bridgewater's terrible. Teddy Bridgewater was god-awful when the game was on the line. And we had Joel first in the door. Joel has a friend that he respects his opinion, knows Carolina, and had some similar thoughts about this. If you go through the narrative, though, of what happened in those 8 games, is there some blame heading Teddy Bridgewater's direction? Oh, you bet. There is. It's also, he's not responsible for losing all 8 of those games in the 4th quarter in one possession games.
Right.
It's not all on him. So we'll get into that later on, fact and fiction about Bridgewater and fourth quarter games, one possession games, because isn't that part of how we evaluate a quarterback? Can they get it done in the 4th quarter? Can they win with the game on the line? John Elway, one of the greatest fourth quarter quarterbacks in NFL history. You evaluate players on what they can do in the 4th quarter. But sometimes they get criticism that's not exactly fair. And so we'll get into that coming up later on. I personally love the deal. What's not to love about it?
I think it's great.
You're giving up nothing. You're giving up nothing to get a quarterback that has... You're giving up, like you said, a 6-round pick and $3 million to bring in a guy that's got experience, who last year threw for 3,733 yards, 15 touchdowns, 11 picks. And I get it, those numbers are not, you know, mind-boggling, staggering numbers. They're not Deshaun Watson numbers. They're not Aaron Rodgers numbers. But they're way better than the guy that was pulling the trigger last year.
Mm-hmm.
So I want your reaction today. Because, where do you have a problem with this deal? Now Drew Locke's confidence is going to be shattered. It's going to be shattered. Stop that.
Drew Locke shouldn't have a ton of confidence.
That time for that kind of coddling is over. If Drew Locke wants to be this team's quarterback and wants to be as great as he, I'm sure, feels like he can be, this is the kind of competition he's going to have to beat out. If he can't beat out Teddy Bridgewater for the starting job in 2021, then John Elway made a mistake. And he drafted the wrong guy.
100%.
And so this is where rubber meets the road. This is where Drew Locke, with the work he's supposed to have been putting in this offseason, that's great. I love to hear that. Working with Peyton Manning, love to hear that. That's great. But his only competition was Jeff Driskel and Brett Rippon. Well, Teddy Bridgewater, while he's not Patrick Mahomes, he certainly isn't Jeff Driskel.
He almost beat Patrick Mahomes in KC, though.
That's one of the games. Yeah, we'll talk about it.
I don't want to blow up your segment.
He basically went toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes at a close, 33-31 loss?
Mm-hmm.
It was a high-scoring game, and we'll go through that coming up later on. But, I mean, he basically went toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes in that game. And think about this, too. A big chunk of the season, no Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah.
Of this past season. You know, out with the
and
injury.
And who else? There's no one else on that team.
They have Robbie Anderson. I mean, they have some speed on the outside more. They have some decent receivers.
Okay, they had a couple thousand yard receivers.
Yeah. So let's not totally
and
act
former
like,
Ohio State Buckeye Curtis Samuel.
Okay.
He had 851. So he almost had 3,000 yard receivers.
Yeah. But also
defense wasn't very good.
Why do those two guys have 1,000 yard seasons? Another almost a third one almost 1,000.
Trigger man.
I'm just saying, look, it's a deal that allows the Broncos, if they don't like Bridgewater, don't like what they have with him,
mm-hmm.
to walk away with, basically, they give up a 6th-round pick and
$3 million. Essentially a 6th-round draft pick.
Yeah.
You're not invested anything past this year. You don't have to get, it's $3 million.
And then whatever they restructure, because you're going to have to get this deal restructured for this year, but you're really only on the hook at the moment for $3 million.
Yeah.
And that 6th-round pick, is that going to come back? Oh, that was the pick that broke the back of George Payton in his first year. No, stop it. And stop the crying about Teddy Bridgewater. He's always hurt. And well, he wasn't hurt last year. The year before that, he was in New Orleans backing up Drew Brees. What did he do there? Came in, won 5 games when Brees got hurt, and helped them get to the NFC Championship game.
As a starter, he's been hurt 1 year. You know,
right.
He's missed games here or there, but Minnesota was 6-6 as a rookie in 12 games, went 11-5 his second year, made the Pro Bowl, then had the knee injury, then was the backup to Drew Brees for 2 years, went 5-1 in 6 starts over the course of two seasons.
He was with the Jets prior to that.
At some point, yeah. It's 2016, maybe.
Basically had a couple of lost years because of the knee injury.
He didn't get in any action with the Jets at all. During his career. And then, you know, Carolina last year, he only missed 1 game. Now, they won that game, but they beat Detroit. So
P.J. Walker, the XFL great.
I think so, yeah.
P.J. Walker. Yeah, I'm just saying, I want to hear why you don't like this deal.
Cause before, I like it. I really like it.
I just like it. I love it. Because you're not committed to anything long term. If he works out, you got him for nothing. Pretty much. If it doesn't work out, okay. Not a big loss. Not a huge deal. Not a huge financial commitment. Like I said, we don't know what the restructured contract mm-hmm. it was gonna be. It will be restructured, so this will be he'll be on a one year deal. So it's try it before you truly buy it kind of thing.
Yeah.
See if he works out. And if he doesn't work out, he doesn't work out. It's okay because the risk is very low. It's a little bit like the Flacco deal, but they traded, a 4th-rounder for Flacco to the Ravens?
Sounds right.
I think it was a 4th-rounder. And I'll take Teddy Bridgewater over Joe Flacco and in a heartbeat, not even think twice about that. Whereas that was a John Elway deal, too. It wasn't in a 4th-rounder?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I thought it was a higher pick than what they're giving up for Bridgewater.
And you want to know, it was just barely 2 years ago.
I know.
March of 2019.
And I just still laugh after watching Flacco play in Denver, the way he played.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still,
I also like that deal, too. So I don't know what that says about my love for the Teddy Bridgewater deal.
Because this deal's a way better deal than what they give up for Flacco.
Yeah.
And I just still think it's funny that the Flacco is going to allegedly challenge Jalen Hurts for the job in Philly. Really? Okay. So, I want your reaction, Pyle.
I'm surprised he passed the physical.
I am too.
The Broncos let him go with the failed physical.
Exactly. So, your thoughts on this. Do you think they still take a quarterback tonight if one of those guys are there at number 9?
You can't. You can't now.
But I'm hearing a lot of people saying, well, don't be surprised if they do.
You can move back and maybe take a different guy. Maybe you can move out of that spot altogether and pick up some picks. I don't know how you can pick a quarterback at 9 now. I just...
Unless, here's the deal. It's Bridgewater comes in. They say they draft Justin Fields or they draft Trey Lance. That means Drew Lock's going someplace else. That means Drew Lock might get traded tonight to somebody else.
Be gone.
Because you're not going to have Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Lock, and let's say Justin Fields or Trey Lance on this roster. You're not going to have all 3.
You can't.
You can't.
I don't think you can do... there's no way to keep Drew Lock if you draft a quarterback tonight. Because if you want to talk about ruining his confidence, that kid is toast for you.
Here's what I think.
He might as well be Sam Darnold.
I think because yesterday when I did my Broncos mock,
mm-hmm.
I threw in this deal. I thought they were going to trade for Teddy Bridgewater. That's why they would take Kellen Mond like in the third round.
Look at you, Karnak.
I know. Blind squirrel finds a nut once in a while. Broken clocks right twice a day. And I just had a feeling that George Payton, with his, you know, he was there with Spielman when they mm-hmm. drafted Teddy Bridgewater in Minnesota, that he
would
find...
What's Kirk Cousins' deal up, too, speaking of Minnesota quarterback?
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, you might some.
Never too late to be a Bronco quarterback.
That's true. Never count that out. I just had a feeling that this is what they were going to do, that Payton was going to find a way to get Carolina to pay enough of that guaranteed money for Denver to go, okay, well, we'll make that deal. And now you have the possibility. But I think it's unlikely now they draft a quarterback with the ninth pick. I still think it'll be offensive line. Like I said, I think they're going to trade back. I wouldn't be surprised to see them trade back now. But I'm also seeing a lot of the pundits out there thinking this means they're going to draft a quarterback and that Bridgewater will be the bridge over troubled waters. There we go. With a young, I know that's a terrible dad joke.
That hurt my head.
Wow. And that he'll mentor the next guy, Fields, Lance, whatever. That will be the role of Teddy Bridgewater going forward. And Drew Lock will be someplace else, wherever they end up trading him. Here's what I don't think they're going to draft Fields, or I don't think they're going to draft Lance. I don't. I think the feeling is now it's going to be either Bridgewater or Lock. And if Teddy Bridgewater beats him out, you still have a guy that's sub 30. Particularly if he beats him out and this team makes the playoffs. Because we've talked about how good this roster can potentially be. And think about that. What if Bridgewater beats him out and Denver's a wild card? They end up with 10, 11 wins. And they get in the postseason. And Bridgewater's the reason why. Drew Lock's done. They'll send him someplace else.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think tonight maybe we'll see, because of Bridgewater now being acquired, maybe George Payton, he'll look for a quarterback maybe, but it's going to be in the second or third round or later. It definitely will make for an intriguing night tonight, because there's not going to be any drama, I think, in with the first and the second pick. I think it'll be a little drama there, a little bit with the third pick with San Francisco. And then after that, it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. So,
you know, and I heard a point yesterday. What's San Francisco? Who are they competing with?
I know. That's the thing, because, you know, it's pretty
like
much
it's
out
all
there.
Intriguing, but now everybody's just all mad because it's like, all right, come on now. There's no one that's going to move up to the pick for you because you're not going to move out of it. Because
you traded up to get
there. You're taking a quarterback. Why does it matter who it is? It's not like Wilson or Lawrence are going to fall to you at three.
They're pretty much going to be out. They're pretty much locked in 1-2.
I mean, the Jets are number two, so there's no telling. They could go Penei Sewell. Who knows? But they're drafting Zach Wilson.
Right. Yeah.
Kyle Shanahan? What is he doing?
Yeah, why is there the necessity for the gamesmanship? Right.
You think the Jets are going to be like, oh, the Niners like Mac Jones. We better take him instead.
No, they don't care.
No. You play each other once every 4 years.
They've made their evaluation. They have their guy that they want. And so Herb's got his guy at number one. Yeah, I agree with you. Kyle Shanahan, number one, stops being such a Debbie Downer.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if any of us are alive.
You can see young Kyle Shanahan in Mike's basement
mm-hmm.
with the dyed black hair.
Yeah.
Very gothy. With listening to The Cure.
Yeah.
Reading poetry.
Just some Swedish black death metal.
Yeah, that and The Cure. A little bit of both.
And some of The Cure.
Back and forth.
Yep. Meshuggah.
There you go. I I'm just, you know, I'm with you. I'm not sure why Kyle Shanahan thinks he's playing against who. He's playing a game of poker against who in this deal.
Right. Like, he won't even tell his staff. Why? I don't get it.
Stop it.
And it never hit until, like, somebody mentioned it. Yes, I can't remember. It may have been Dan Patrick's show or somebody. They're like, well, who is he competing against for this pick?
Himself.
Like, himself, essentially.
All right, 720. Text or call us today. Jim along with the Buckeye boy. Do you like or dislike the Bridgewater deal? Teddy Bridgewater. Denver Bronco quarterback. Good chance to be your starter 2021 as well. All right, let's get to
what's happening.
All right, Broncos sending a 6th-round pick to Carolina in exchange for quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. NFL Network reporting that Carolina will get the 191st pick in this year's draft. ESPN's Adam Schefter says the Panthers will pay $7 million to Bridgewater, while the Broncos will pick up $3 million. Also reports the Broncos will restructure Bridgewater's contract so he can be a free agent after this season. He threw for 3,733 yards, 15 touchdowns, 11 picks for the Panthers last season. Draft starts at 6 o'clock tonight. Broncos still have the 9th pick in the first round. We'll have coverage of the draft this evening right here on the Team Sports Network. Nikola Jokic's big shot block on New Orleans' Zion Williamson preserved a 114-112 Nuggets win in Denver Wednesday night with under 10 seconds left in the game. Jokic blocked a dunk attempt by Williamson as Denver wins the season series with the Pelicans. Jokic also scored a game-high 32 with Michael Porter Jr. adding 28 as the Nuggets moved within one game of the LA Clippers for third in the Western Conference. Former Rocky Mike Tauchman. We were talking about Tauchman the other day.
I thought he was still with the Yankees until last night.
I did too. I was like, well, hey, there's Mike Tauchman.
Like, hold on a second. There's way too much hair on him to be a Yankee. Oh, he's not a Yankee
anymore. Mike Tauchman had 3 hits in his first game with San Francisco as the Giants beat Colorado 7-3 Wednesday night at Oracle Park. Colorado pitching absolutely killed them as they walked 9 with starter Airman Marquez walking in 2 runs with reliever Yency Almonte also walking in a run. Colorado was also no hit for 5.5 by Alex Wood as they dropped to 9-15 overall. Colorado loses the series. They head to Arizona to face the Diamondbacks tonight. The Avalanche dropped their 3rd straight and losing 5-2 to the Golden Knights in Las Vegas Wednesday night. Colorado got goals from Devon Taves and Ryan Graves. His goal in Devin Dubnyk stopped 21 shots. The Avs trail Vegas by 6 points in the West Division with about 10 games left in the season. A lot of ground and not much time to make up for the Avalanche to win the West Division. The 24th-ranked Colorado Mesa women's lacrosse team missed their chance to be RMAC regular season champions with a 19-4 loss to 10th-ranked Regis Wednesday at Maverick Field. The win gives the Rangers the regular season crown, and they'll host in the upcoming RMAC tournament. CMU wraps up the regular season Saturday at Westminster. CMU softball player Ellie Smith is not only the RMAC Player of the Week, but was also named the Louisville Slugger NFCA Division II National Player of the Week. Smith hit 4 home runs and drove in 11 in the 17th-ranked Mavs series sweep of Colorado Christian. She also earned a pair of wins in the pitching circle during that series. Back to lacrosse, the 7-1 CMU men's lacrosse team is looking to clinch the RMAC regular season title Friday night against Westminster. CMU routed Westminster in their first meeting 16-6, but Mavs head coach Vince Smith says he's not taking anything for granted.
The RMAC championship regular season title's on the line. Don't think the score from 2 weeks ago was really indicative of the type of team that Westminster is. You know, it's a championship level game, so, you know, a lot of stuff goes out the window.
Mavs and Griffins play at 6 o'clock tomorrow night over at Maverick Field, so make sure you get over there and check it out. Fruita Monument baseball team played just 2 games last year before the COVID-19 pandemic shut down the season, so some of their players this spring haven't played in almost 2 years. Wildcats head coach Ray McLennan says every season has challenges, and they'll have to overcome the COVID-caused ones as much as anybody else.
A lot of unstructured things that certainly have added to the challenge of this, but you know, in any given year, you have those challenges. There's just so many moving parts with this. And not to make excuses or anything, you've got to be able to, as a team, as a program, be able to adjust to that.
Wildcats open the season Monday night at Saplesio Field against Palisade. You can hear that game right here on the team pregame at 5:45. First pitch at 6 o'clock Monday night from Sam Saplesio Field. And that's a quick look at
what's happening.
All right, Jim, along with the Buckeye boy from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. Don't forget 9 o'clock this morning. Former Bronco Ryan Harris, host on Altitude Sports Radio in Denver, will join us to talk about the Teddy Bridgewater acquisition and his thoughts about the draft tonight. So that's coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. In just a little bit, right around 7:40, Palisade volleyball coach Wendy McCaskill previewing their region out of Palisade this Saturday. So that's coming up in just a little bit. Text or call us. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line serving your breakfast until 10:30 this morning over at the Rimrock location, 970-242-1340. We'll return with more on the Team Sports Network.
First of all, it's hilarious.
Warped, twisted individuals. Yes. Yeah!
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back. 728. Jim along with the Buckeye Boy. Teddy Bridgewater now at Denver Bronco. Your reaction to the trade yesterday where Denver sends a six-round pick in this year's draft to Carolina. They're going to restructure Bridgewater's deal for it just to be this year. And then there's the $10 million guaranteed money, which that was kind of a big sticking point in whether or not Bridgewater would get traded and whether the Broncos would have an interest. Well, you're able to get Carolina to pay $7 of the $10 million. Your thoughts about it today? Text or call us, 970-242-1340. Got a couple of, quite a few reactions this morning. JJ, our boy JJ, right?
I believe so. Text is small, so yeah.
He loves it. I love you, JJ. I love you for loving it. And I have his back. Stop being so mean to him. Stop it.
I'll try.
He's a good dude.
I've never said that's not the case.
But you keep picking on
He's
him about his height.
He's just a little
really.
Dude, that's all. He's a good little guy.
The coach, Steve Phillips.
Oh, hey.
Morning, Coach Steve.
Morning.
Really good deal, but not the guy that will lead the Broncos above 500. With their roster being what it is, if that defense can play to a top five level, Bridgewater cuts down on the turnovers, I think they can be an above 500 football team. I think he can be that guy. For Mike, I'm a KC fan who doesn't like the Bridgewater deal because now we're not guaranteed two wins every year. Yeah, because he almost got your Chiefs last year.
Almost got you, yeah.
Almost got you last year. Jamie, we're more than a quarterback away. I'm sticking with Locke and then doing whatever it takes to get DJ, the kid from Clemson, right? The quarterback there, which I can remember.
DJ Uiagalelei?
Uiagalelei, yes.
Yeah, do you think Dave Logan retires? Uiagalelei throws over the middle to Ogbonam.
I'm glad you remembered how to say his name.
Yeah. Weird like that.
We're going to wait 2 years for that?
I can't remember people's real names, but I remember the odd names. Yeah.
Mond will be gone by then. Lots of eyes on him right now. That could be the case. They could end up missing out on Kellen Mond.
Yeah.
You know, then do you look at a Kyle Trask? Who certainly is not a mobile quarterback like a Kellen Mond, but a guy that put up some huge numbers at Florida.
He did.
Let's see. We got one from Mike this morning. If the Broncos take a quarterback in the first round, they'll probably trade Locke for a fifth or sixth round pick and then regain the pick they gave the Panthers. This gives them the opportunity to take the best player available at 9. If it's a quarterback, great. If it's another piece, then at least we have a quality veteran as insurance under center. So far, it seems like everybody's okay with this deal. From Bry Guy, I love the Bridgewater trade. He'll either make Locke better or put him on the bench. Peyton is making all the right moves so far. I agree.
Yeah,
Rob,
he is.
Can't wait to see if Palisade volleyball coach is excited about the ranking as Fruita coach. You'll find out because we'll have we had Coach Johansson on the other day.
Mm-hmm.
They got the 17th seed. In the 5A region. She thought it should have been higher.
Probably should have been.
Palisade got the 3 seed in the 4A tournament. You'll find out. We'll have Wendy McCaskill coming up a little bit. It's a tease. All right, who do we have in the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line?
This is Sam.
Sam, good morning, Sam. How are you?
Jim Davis, I'm pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing well. What's your thoughts today, sir?
Well, I was certainly surprised when I saw the post on Bridgewater last night. I guess good, bad, or indifferent, at least they finally got off dead center and did something. Bridgewater probably wouldn't have been my first pick, but then they've dawdled around for the last 3 months and they're running out of quarterbacks to try to grab. So, he's no Joe Flacco, but I think he'll do.
I think this is a sneaky good deal. I think you're underselling this a little bit. Because look, Andy Dalton, he's getting what, 10 million? 10.5 from the Bears, something like that?
Yeah, something like that.
I mean, some of the other guys that were out there, teams maybe overpaid a little bit. I mean, not that 10.5's in the world of an NFL quarterback is an outrageous, outlandish number. They're getting him for a pretty low deal. He's 28. He's still a pretty young guy, Sam. People forget that about Teddy Bridgewater. He's not 35 years old. I like this deal a lot because the risk is low. The reward is potentially fairly high for this football team. I mean, is Teddy Bridgewater going to be Patrick Mahomes? No, but if this roster plays to the level that we think they can, he doesn't have to be that good. He just has to be better than Drew Lock, which in some ways isn't saying a whole lot.
Yeah, I'm not throwing stones at the deal. I'm fairly pleased with it, and I'm hoping it'll work out. And like I say, at least they finally have done something.
True, very true. They have brought in competition, competent veteran competition to Drew Lock. And if Lock beats him, great. Then you're on the right track with Drew Lock. If he doesn't beat him out, then you made a mistake. And at least you found a way, George Payton, to rectify the mistake of the previous guy who drafted Drew Lock.
Yeah, all the posturing that's went on and the comments that are made about Drew Lock and everything, my thought was, I think they're putting way too much faith in Lock, and I hope they don't hook that donkey to the cart.
Well, put this way, they're finding hopefully he'll be more thoroughbred than donkey. They now have a viable option at quarterback. They do. I mean, he's gonna be competition for Drew Lock to be the starting quarterback. It's not a case of it's Drew's job and there's nobody. You bring Jeff Driscoll, who was never ever was ever in the conversation of competing with Drew Lock for the starting job. Brett Rippon, stop it. I like Brett Rippon too, but stop this nonsense about Brett Rippon and how good he might be and things like that. You have a legitimate starting veteran NFL quarterback coming in that's going to make things tough on Drew Lock. Because Teddy Bridgewater is going to want to prove himself. And he also has a guy that drafted him, knows him fairly well in George Payton. And so it's going to be, or he's going to be given a lot of opportunities to win this job.
You know, I do think it's all upside, especially at a bargain price.
I do. I mean, the risk is low. I mean, they're going to get the deal restructured. It'll be just for this 1 year. And if it works out, then that parlays into something else. Hey, Sam, anything else today?
I think that'll do her.
Okay. Sam, great to hear from you. Thanks. All right. Sam from Fruita. Liking the deal today.
Yeah, I like it too. I mean, I'm trying to look up kind of the Broncos salary situation just to kind of see where that $3 million, whose neighborhood that puts him in, right? Because that's what I always like to see. What type of value are you going to get for the money you're paying him?
Because that's
where this
starts.
$10 million is probably not going to be enough value.
Right.
At $3 million, that's a different story.
Absolutely. And that's where, man, give George Payton credit for being savvy. It's a savvy move on his part. All right, let's get to what happened last night. There was a Nuggets and Avalanche and Rockies were all in action last night. We had the Nuggets New Orleans game last night. Denver gets a 114-112 win, and while one of the big stories is Nikola Jokic blocking Zion Williamson's potential dunk with 2 seconds left to preserve the Nuggets' win last night, there was a moment last night where you kind of held your breath because Michael Porter Jr., a very, very scary fourth quarter fall, ends up laying in there on the baseline for a little bit, going to be okay, but for a moment you're thinking, Buckeye, oh, no, we've lost Jamal Murray. Now Michael Porter Jr.?
Yeah.
Who?
Worrisome was like, you know, the last 5 or 6 minutes just with the way they were playing. And then that fall, it's like, oh, no, this is not good. Turns out, I mean, he's sore, but not so much worse for wear. But, yeah, initially it was like, you just saw the season go up in flames at that point.
Exactly. You're going, oh, man, no, this can't be happening. Unfortunately, he was okay. He had 28 points last night. But here's Michael Malone after the game. While he's happy with the win, They were up by 9 very late in that game and nearly squandered a 9-point lead.
I'm all for being in a giving mood, but let's not give this game away. And literally, fourth quarter, 8 turnovers, 12 points. In the last 2 minutes and 40 seconds, Mike, we had 6 turnovers. Uncharacteristic turnovers. And I think, obviously, a couple of big plays. They made threes, a couple of breakdowns. We're not strong with the ball. They rip it out of our hands. They get a dunk. And some of the turnovers were egregious in nature. But one thought comes to mind for me, and I'm not using any excuses. We held on for the win, which is great. Did not like the last 3 minutes that you alluded to. But Nikola, when has he ever made plays like that? This guy, I think, is second in the NBA in minutes played. I think he is physically and mentally exhausted. Faku played 36 minutes tonight. Some of his turnovers late. We'll watch the film tomorrow. We'll learn from it. I think it's really important that you learn from your mistakes and you don't accept in victory what you wouldn't accept in defeat. So the game should never have been that close. We all realize that, and we all have to be better.
All right, there's Michael Malone. The good news for the Nuggets, not only winning last night, winning the series, the season series with the Pelicans, that they pull within a game of the Clippers for third in the West, which is big. So Nuggets getting the win last night. And the Rockies out in San Francisco, final game of that series at Oracle Park. Ooh, not good last night. Pitching was absolutely dreadful last night. The Rockies lose 7-3. They walked 9 hitters last night. Herman Marquez.
Seemed like more than that.
Yeah, seemed like more, but it was 9. Herman Marquez walks in 2 runs. Yency Almonte walks in a run. Mentioned earlier that Alex Wood, no, hit them for 5. And, you know, for 5
not
plus.
Not Kerry Wood.
Alex
Wood.
Yeah, Alex Wood. Rockies now 9-15. They head to Arizona to take on the Diamondbacks tonight. And it'll be Antonio Sensatella against Luke Weaver in that one tonight. First pitch at 7:40 for the Avalanche. Well, another loss. They've now dropped 3 straight after clinching the postseason spot. They lose to the Golden Knights in Vegas last night, 5-2. They got goals from Devon Taves and Ryan Graves. Up like how that rhymed. And Devin Dubnyk stopped 21 shots last night. The Avs now trail Vegas by 6 points for the West Division lead with about 10 games left in the season. So the Avalanche now starting to run out of time after the game last night. Jared Bednar with some thoughts on just how they didn't execute very well.
We played hard, played real hard, actually. Had a few mistakes. It's the type of team Vegas is. You make a mistake, they capitalize. They got a lot of finishers over there. Some of our mistakes led directly to either goals against or penalties against. So there's some areas that we got to clean up. But we played hard. We generated some nice scoring chances. Fleury was good in goal. Margin for error is small for us right now, so we have to find a way to be better with the puck and more discipline in a couple different areas. But can't fault the guys for their work ethic tonight. You know, we wanted to grind out a gutsy performance and make sure we were competitive and physical, and I thought we did that. So just wasn't a well-executed game from us.
All right, so there's Jared Bednar. Avs now trail Vegas by 6 points in the West Division. All right, we'll have sound check coming up. We got George on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. Good morning, George. How are you?
Hey, good, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good. Long time no talk to you. Thanks for calling in today.
Yeah. Hey, Teddy Bridgewater at $3 million. Joe Flacco makes $3.5 million. So,
yeah.
With that said, I mean, I don't know. Here's the one aspect that I see it that haven't heard yet. I think that Teddy is there for flexibility moving forward because the Broncos do like Rippon as the backup. And so, I mean, the Broncos would keep Rippon as the third string quarterback, but at the same time, they do like him as a backup. I mean, he came in and put up 30-some points against the Jets, but the Jets weren't playing bad football at the time.
Sure, I mean, a couple of picks in that game, but you're right. In his first career start, he played pretty well on the road in that game against the Jets.
Heck, he put up 30-something. I mean, he started, I think, with 3 touchdowns and ended up with a couple picks that were bad picks. But, I mean, for a backup, they kind of see him as a Kubiak-style guy, and I do think that is their long-term backup plan. So I don't know what that means with with Bridgewater and Locke, other than flexibility, can trade one. Bridgewater probably can't be traded again, but they cut him. They lose $3 million. I mean, it's not a huge investment. And, you know, so I don't know. That's the one ripple I don't know. And I think you go into draft night and you say, well, where are they? They really like one of the two quarterbacks, either Fields or Lance. Of course, I don't know which one, but they've been at both pro days twice, I think. And so I think if one of the guy that they really like there, and if you read Jeff Legwald and you follow the scenes with him and his top 100, he had Lance, the second best quarterback at number 9, and he's pretty plugged into Denver. I think it might be Lance. I don't know. But, they do say, though, that he needs a year to sit back. So
you'd have that flexibility now because of Bridgewater being there.
That's exactly right. So I don't know. I mean, if their guy isn't there at 9, then they probably trade back and do whatever. But it's interesting. I don't know. Most of the stuff now is disinformation. Like the San Francisco stuff, like that had to have been leaked by someone wanting to get Mac to draft to fall down and push the Lance thing, because I can't see San Francisco being that dysfunctional of an organization to whereas they have people leaking that from the inside. I always look at, why is this being leaked? What are the goals here of whoever's leaking this?
Right.
Who does this help?
Yeah, it's another team that certainly wants that player and they want him to come down. And I don't – Kyle Shanahan, is it – he's playing poker kind of against himself, is he not, George?
Yeah, I don't know if he's really playing poker or – I saw someone speculate that the NFL came in and said, Kyle, people have known who you're going to draft before the draft last 4 years. Quit telling people.
Right.
That was a speculation from a former NFL GM. I mean, I think that could be true as to why he gave that weird press conference.
Right.
I think Kyle's locked on. Look, it's Kyle. It's his team. It's his rep. He's going to take Mac Jones. The more I think about it, the more I see that the way that was leaked. I don't think he's playing poker. I just think he's messing with people now. I think the league asked him to be more discreet because everyone knew he was going to take Solomon Thomas. Everyone knew he was going to take Javon Kinlaw. You know, everyone's known who the 49ers Bosa. Organization was going to take the last 3 years.
Right. So I love everybody. You don't know who I'm. We love all five quarterbacks.
I can see Kyle Shanahan being that much of a snarky jerkwad to do that. Yeah, that I can see that.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, so I don't know. I mean, I've known guys that have been inside that organization, and they all love it, which is why I can't see someone from inside that organization leaking the Trey Lance. We're pushing for Trey, but Kyle's locked on this guy.
Right.
That doesn't sound right to me at all. That's a cohesive organization, and they all love each other. So, nothing rings true about that to me. That's why it tells me it's coming from the outside, trying to get Mac Jones to fall and create some division in the building.
All right, George. Appreciate you holding on. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Later, guys.
Take care. All right, George.
I can see that though.
Yeah, sure, I can see it too.
With Mike listening to some of Mike Shanahan's pressers for years and years, I could definitely see Kyle being that snarky jerkwad
Yeah, and George makes a good point. I mean, if the league has contacted him, said stop tipping your hand.
Remember, they were getting bent because the Schefters and the Kuipers and everybody were breaking the news before Goodell would walk out there with the card.
Right. Like, you got the third pick this year. We want some drama, okay? We want they're already gonna have tons of eyeballs on tonight, but you know, let's head.
Yeah,
because the first two there's not a lot of drama there. The drama starts at number 3.
No, there's been no drama about this number 1 overall pick, except for who it's going to be picking.
Exactly. All right, let's get to.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story, and I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
All right, what do you have, Buckeye?
Well, buried at least regionally under the Teddy Bridgewater trade was a tweet from Andy Staples about there might be college football playoff expansion on the horizon. And he stopped by the Dan Patrick Show yesterday to kind of break it down on why people are wanting this.
They've said they're looking at 6, 8, 10, 12, 16. I think realistically, 8, 10, 12 are probably what they're looking at. 8 is very neat. It's a multiple of 4. You have 3 rounds, quarterfinals on campus, semifinals at bowls, neutral site championship game. 10 and 12, then you add another week, but you add byes, which I was always an 8 guy, and I had an AD text me out of the blue a few months ago with an idea of 12. And I was like, why? That seems like too many. And this person's like, no, you're protecting the regular season by putting in the buys and by putting in the hosting. So, you know, it matters if you're 1 through 4 because you get a bye. It matters if you're 5 through 8 because you host the game. It matters if you're 9 through 12 because you either get in or you don't. That's a lot more engaged fan bases and engaged teams.
Apparently, the leader in the clubhouse for expansion is now 12 teams.
Right. The Athletic says that one Power 5 AD says, I sense 12 teams is building support.
Mm-hmm.
See where it goes.
Gimme.
There's pluses and minuses on it. And we can debate that maybe a little bit later on this morning. But overall, I'm in favor of that. All right, Wendy McCaskill, Palisade volleyball coach, will join us coming up in just a couple of minutes right here on the Jim Davis Show.
I'm the morning guy. I have a Facebook group, 16 members. Some call it a fan page. I don't know.
Oh, hell yeah.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Coach of the Palisade Bulldogs volleyball team, champions of the Western Slope League. Wendy, appreciate the time. How are you doing? Well, before
thanks
we
for having me.
Oh, great to have you on. And before we talk about facing, of course, Woodland Park and Falcon coming up in the Region 3 tournament, where you're the third seed in the 4A State Volleyball Tournament, want to acknowledge a couple of things. First off, congratulations on your 200th career win that happened when you played Bayfield last week. So a nice individual accomplishment. I know it's a team game, and I know it's all about your players, but that's an impressive accomplishment as a coach to get your 200th win.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I told the girls yesterday I didn't even know that was the case until way after the match, and I told them I honestly have 0 wins. It's them and all the girls before that who have, you know, done all the work on the court. So, but thank you for that.
Something else I want to acknowledge, too, of course, you always have your breast cancer awareness game, and you raise money for a variety of things, but most notably breast cancer here in the Valley and the fight against that. $23,000, I think, was the total that I saw in the last 11 years that the Palisade volleyball team has raised for a bunch of different organizations. So it's not about just what your players do on the floor. It's about the charitable things that they do, and they've certainly you've had a chance to expose them to giving back to their community.
Yeah, absolutely. Volleyball usually falls in the fall, you know, in non-COVID years. In October is National Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and like you said, I think we probably started our breast cancer matches probably 2 years or so before we started thinking, hey, if we need to do more than just put on pink jerseys. And so it's kind of grown over the years, and we're really proud that almost all of that money, I think the first year the money was donated outside of our community, but ever since then we've donated here locally, and we've received some notes from people who have benefited from those donations and just very grateful and life-changing to help them with that. And so it's been a great life lesson for everyone in our program as they go through it over the years.
Palisade volleyball coach Wendy McCaskill with us on the Team Sports Network. I mentioned that you'll be hosting Region 3 this Saturday at Palisade High School. You'll open up with Falcon in the round robin. That'll be followed by Woodland Park and Falcon. Then you'll take on Woodland Park to wrap up that day of volleyball out of Palisade. You've had the number one team in the RPI in 4A throughout the latter half of the season. The 3 seed, I'm sure probably pleased with that. Kind of what you expected to get in terms of seeding for this tournament?
You know, I would say that I expected to be number 3. That's a great seed, and I think it's probably one of the highest we've ever had and in the years that I've been there. And so that's a great seed. We're happy with it. You know, do I know all the ins and outs of how that was determined based on the 3 different polls and, you know, ranking systems that they use? Not exactly. But, you know, at this point in the season, I'm not going to just nitpick it apart. You know, basically we have to play our best game on Saturday, whether we're a 24 seed or whether we're a 3 seed, and that's what we're going to go out there and do our best to do.
Now, you're not going to question it, right? You're going to take the 3 seed and be at home and be happy with that.
Exactly. Exactly.
Not going to complain about that. Wendy McCaskill, coach of the Palisade Bulldogs volleyball team, joining us today on the Team Sports Network. As I mentioned, you have Woodland Park and Falcon. You'll have Falcon in your first match at 10 o'clock Saturday morning out at Palisade High School. It's a Falcon team that's 10-3 on the season and got some talented players, particularly their sophomore, Caitlin Hall, their outside hitter. She's had a really good season. She leads them so far this year with 147 kills on the season.
Yes, I think no matter what dry you get, whatever teams you get, especially with the smaller postseason pool this year, only having 24 teams advancing instead of 36 like in non-COVID years, everyone is going to have at least one, if not two or three solid players that you're going to have to key on and figure out how to stop or slow down in order to have a chance to, you know, win a match right now. And so, but for our girls, you know, we keep talking about what our, we know what our match goals are, and we know the likelihood of us coming out ahead on the scoreboard if we meet those match goals. And so that's kind of where our focus is going to be. Yes, we'll have to key on other teams and make some adjustments, but we feel pretty confident in our game. And if we're able to put together the game that we want, that we'll be happy with the results.
Palisade volleyball coach Wendy McCaskill. They will start region play this Saturday in the round robin with Falcon of Woodland Park out of Palisade High School. Best of luck to all the Western Slope volleyball teams as regional play begins this weekend. All right, Jim along with the Buckeye Boy today. Coming up next hour, we'll talk a little JUCO baseball with Crowder College coach Travis Lolliman. That'll be heading your way at 8:20 this morning, 9 o'clock this morning. Ryan Harris, member of the Broncos Super Bowl 50 team, along with, of course, these days, host on Altitude Sports over in Denver. We'll talk draft. We'll talk about the Bridgewater trade coming up at 9 this morning as well. Do you like or dislike the Broncos getting Teddy Bridgewater? Text or call us today. Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line. That's 970-242-1340.